You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
I'm stoked to have Auckland Tamaki artist Tiger Lotus, who sits at the intersection of jazz, R&B and soul and creates work often driven by emotional honesty. And this new track, The Tiger in the Garden, is no different. It dives into the frustrations that come with adulthood, as well as the quiet grief of having to put one's dreams on hold. Here to chat all about it, welcome Morena.
Morena.
Yeah, you've taken a day off work today. You're in full press mode.
Yes, while I sit here in my bed. Full press mode, let's go.
That's the best place to do press from. You know, you're comfortable, you're in your sanctuary.
In my safe space.
In your safe space, exactly. Now, let's just jump into it. I love this track, by the way. I think it's so amazing. It's so different to anything I've heard in a little bit coming out of Aotearoa. You call this single a love letter to anyone who has had to sacrifice their passions in pursuit of stability, kind of meditates on our everyday anxieties and struggles surrounding the cost of living and career pressures, which for a musical artist can obviously be even more frustrating. There's an idea within the song that we have been fed a lie that hard work equals success. The idea of the song struck in a very odd place. You were in the supermarket and you were holding a mango. Talk to me about that.
I sure was. I was at New World. This is like a couple, 2-3 years back. And I was at New World doing my grocery run and in the veggie fruit aisle. And I really wanted a mango and the mango was there. And it was $10. And I was like, what am I going to do with a $10 mango? Like, it's not even that big, you know? And, like, I just thought, if I take this mango, I'm going to have to put back something else. I'm going to have to put back the eggs or something that's a bit more important, you know? And it just felt really frustrating, like, having to put something that you want for something that you need, for something as simple as fruit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we've all felt that just hot. It's kind of like a personal horror that you're like, oh my God, I can't get this. For me personally, it's tamarillos. Whenever I want a tamarillo, and I'm like, why is a single tamarillo like $12? What are we doing?
Fruit horror.
Yeah, fruit horror. New genre of music. Now, there are many artists right now across the country making art surrounding these same topics because they are hitting everyone so hard. Where do you think the power of art and music lies in getting these messages of frustration across?
Well, I think at the end of the day, like, music is a form of communication, right? Mm. So, like, through that, you truth tell. You know, and it's one of the most effective ways of communicating because it connects with people, not just, you know, in theme and in writing, but just like musically, it's catchy, you know, people resonate and feel more when it comes to music and film and any form of, you know, art. But I think that's why music will always be around forever, because people need to say what they feel and what they think. No. Yeah, and tell stories.
Yeah, of course. I love that, what you said about, you know, music. It is communication.
It is absolutely.
Now, your Tiger Lotus, the track is called Tiger in the Garden. What was the backstory behind the title of it?
So, tiger referring to me, hey. And garden being Tamaki Makaurau. So, like, Auckland is my garden, you know what I mean? And, yeah, it's just like, it's a way to look at everything from a bird's eye view, you know, and kind of say, well, this is my world, this is my garden, and this is a lot of people's gardens, this is a lot of people's worlds, this is everyone's garden, you know, like, everyone has bills, everyone has to pay for things, everyone's got to work and eat, and, you know, a garden should be a beautiful place, but here I am kind of, like, struggling, you know, struggling for the simple things.
Yeah. And talk to me a little bit about how your childhood and experience with family and growing up informed the track, particularly around those ideas of success and sacrifice.
So I'm a child of immigrants. My parents are from Cambodia. And I think, like all immigrant stories, you know, it's the typical parents, you know, made a big move and sacrificed a lot and just worked really hard and wrecked themselves in the process to provide for their kids. And in the process, they pass on that ethic to their children, even though their children may not really need it because they're, you know, born in this new country. But the children tend to carry that sacrifice and that pain that the parents have and that mindset. And sometimes it works in their favor and sometimes it doesn't. And in my case, it didn't. Like, I went to uni, I tried to, you know, get a degree, get a good job, try and fit in, you know, but it never made me happy. It never got me anywhere. And here I am, 29 years old, turning 30 this year, and pursuing music, like, aggressively. So, yeah, that's the story behind it for me.
Yeah, yeah. And does identity inform a lot of your work?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Now, soul, R&B, jazz, these are all genres that explore or lend themselves very well to songs of struggle and resistance and intergenerational woe, sorry. Where did your story with those genres first begin and what led you to kind of weaving them together?
Yeah, so I think for me, soul's always been like me, you know, I've always been a soulful singer. I don't think I had much of a choice in that. You know, I'm not here making heavy metal or anything.
It was decided for you.
yes. So I always feel that, like, I don't know, I express whenever I'm sad or depressed or frustrated, never happy, funny enough, but whenever I'm all these other emotions, it seems to be, yeah, what I use. And thankfully, my voice, you know, kind of suits all that. So I don't know what else to say other than I feel that it's kind of been picked up for me and I was just born to have it.
That's the best story, you know, that you didn't really have a choice, but at least you were happy with the choice that was chosen for you by the vocal cord gods. Do you have any major influences within those genres that, even if you're not directly pulling from them, were just people growing up that you were like, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty old school, so, like, I love my vintage music. I love the singers, like, singers. You know, Billie Holiday, Sarah Vaughan, Dinah Washington, Shirley Bassey, Amy Winehouse, Adele, Jimmy Scott, just like soulful, beautiful voices that are timeless and cut through everything else.
Yeah. And now we've got to talk about the music video, because this music video is amazing. It was done with Lemontime Studios and it blew me away. You're navigating the streets of Tamaki. There's a great moment in, like, a train car. And the choreography is just gorgeous. All of our listeners must go watch it. But tell me about the process behind the video, the germ of the idea, and the journey with the choreo.
Yeah, totally. So I met the directors and production team through their podcast show that they're starting up. They haven't released episodes yet, but basically I entered this competition, won a little prezi card and had to do a little interview on their podcast, and they were like, oh yeah, we also make music videos. And I was like, perfect. So yeah, that's how that started. And they did it in such record time. Like, there was not much time to prepare because I wanted to get this out as soon as possible. And with the choreography, for example, that was like a week before shooting, you know. So that was like 7 days for Jacqueline Jimenez, who's a choreographer, to put together the choreo, and for the dancers to learn it. So super proud of the girls and really, really proud of Promise and Zoe from Lemontime Studios for just getting all this done with me. You know, like, it was hectic, chaotic, a lot done in one day, location to location. Like, my feet were destroyed, but like, so happy. It was such a good process. It was so fun.
Yeah. And I think that harks back to those genres as well, and what you were talking about, you know, those singers often had another element to them, you know, they were performers in a different sense. And I think that having a dance choreo video just so perfectly aligns with that. For my final question, I'm going to curve back around to the start. Now, disillusionment, it already exists within a younger generations and is very much still growing. What do you think we can hold in the face of it in terms of resilience?
Ooh, good question. I would say, what can we do? I think authenticity, being yourself. Like, I'm a 90s kid, right? So like I said, I grew up with my parents very much, you know, drilling into me to study hard and work hard, and you know, that's how you make it. And as I've gotten older, I've watched people like a decade younger than me, like make it with some you know, random thing like crypto or some other crazy like business venture that's come out of nowhere that I don't understand. And it can be frustrating, like seeing all these shortcuts and different ways of working in the world coming from the younger generation, as well as empowering at the same time. But yeah, coming from a millennial, I'm a baby millennial, I'm the last of the millennials, I would say be authentic, because what will be will always come out. Like, what's meant to be will be, right? So trust the process. I don't think I would have been able to make this kind of music back when I was 18, 19. I had to like live my life. I had to like learn things and just mature and ferment like kimchi, you know? So I think just let it be.
Ferment. Think like kimchi. Thank you so much. It's been a great kōrero with you. Just to end off, can we expect any shows in the future? Maybe coming down south if you can.
Oh, so in the near, like next few months, not exactly. I mean, I perform every week at like a specific venue in Auckland here. Just as like a, you know, covers kind of gig. But I do have one gig towards the end of the year. Definitely sorted, and potentially another, but up until then it's pretty open. I don't have anything planned for South, unfortunately. I don't have like a big team with me. Like, I don't have like a full band or anything. Like, I'm very solitary when it comes to art. It's a lot of work working with other people and a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so at the moment, I don't have like a massive team behind me musically for me to like warrant doing like a tour. Maybe I could do like an acoustic thing potentially, but right now, no car, no people, no budget. So
that just means the people are going to have to wait for it, you know, and then they'll like, when you come down, they'll be like, oh, finally, you know, you can charge them a hell of a lot more money.
Oh, silver lining.
Always a silver lining. Thank you so much, Tiger Lotus, for joining me on the program this morning. I wish you the best of luck with the rest of your press day.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Ka kite.
Hey.
This is Tiger Lotus's very groovy, very fun track next on the program, Tiger in the Garden. Make sure you check it out across all digital platforms, and do watch that music video, because if you don't, you're missing out. You're missing out. Here it is on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. In the Aussie art scene, Nick
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.